Hi.
Have you got your reverb on again, Brian?
No, do you want it on?
Just in it. Yes. In a special new place.
It's probably my volume that's up a lot. But you know what? We can
what do I know?
We can add some stuff. Let's see. How about now? Do we got any reverb here? Oh, nothing?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, how about now? Coming at you not live.
I apologize in advance, listeners. Once again, Brian's got the buttons and he wants to play. Nothing I can do about it.
There is no good delay algorithm on this thing. No.
I mean, the delay is fine. The reverb is rather delay-y.
Hi.
Nice bit of slap.
Hi. It's just the same delay with different time. Come on, Pyle, do better, man. You could get a spin chip for God's sake and put it in this thing.
I'm pretty sure, Brian.
You guys have been spending too much time on these algorithms. See, what you need to do is just change the time and call it a different thing.
Apparently, 16 DSP digital multi-effect programming system. No, that's the same delay with a different time.
apparently, Bri, you've just set, I'm just getting news in from the Guinness Book of Records for the world's most annoying podcast introduction involving special effects. Congratulations, my friend.
I did it. I've been trying for this for so long. I'd like to thank my mom and my wife and Richard and Blake.
Oh, Richard, I just got something come across my desk. You also got a record for the world's quietest microphone.
And also the world's crankiest Englishman on a gear podcast.
Oh, don't
no, he's not the world's crankiest Englishman.
Started, no. Bri. Things are bubbling up here at the moment. I'm just going to... Oh. Do not crank my horn. Is that correct? Yes.
I mean, that costs money over here. But
yeah, mm-hmm. No. Cost money over here. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Better now.
Have you ever done like an 8-hour course about guitar pedal overdrives?
I've watched one, and not about guitar pedal overdrives, but about music production. And I can tell you, I feel your pain, Bri. I feel your pain. How much work goes into it.
Like, just I'm having a problem like simplifying things. Well, I do hear delay a lot. I don't know why, but I'm having problems like simplifying things. Like, let's take a JFET circuit and simplifying it down to like maybe a couple 10 or 20 minute videos, right? Because I tend to like, as I get talking with it, it becomes this 2-hour video about the intricacies of the source resistor. And I'm like, okay, I'm going way off in the weeds here. I got to reel this back in.
Reel it in.
So let me get this right. You're asking me and Blake for support and or help on how to avoid going off into the weeds on a subject.
That's
probably the wrong guys to talk to about that.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Richard, what do you mean? We're the most concise people on the internet.
It's a labor of love, Bri, but it will be worth it. Maybe.
I hope so. For both the people that buy it.
I'm sure it will be. and one of those is me. I've seen it already. In fact, I've seen a few bits of it and I love it. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think you've got nothing to worry about. Just get on and do your videos, man.
Yeah, I'm ready to get it done. I've been doing this for 2 months now. So
we've got serious gear talk to deal with today, Wampler. No more of this DIY nonsense today.
We're not doing it ourselves. We got people to do it for us.
Yeah, we've advanced, haven't we? I don't think we have.
What do we got today, Richard?
Well, there's a couple of things that have crossed my path, and I've got a very sort of big quandary, which is the band have said to me, we're going to try and do... I can hear my echo somewhere. I don't know how that's happening.
Yeah, y'all need have to turn your volumes down.
I think my Brian volume is monitors down. On.
No, monitors are on over here.
There's something crazy going on. Anyhow, the subject of in-ear monitors has been raised, Bri, which is something that frightens me because I quite enjoyed plugging into the old 4x12 and having the flapping wind of paper cones behind me. But no, sure. I'm going to be having to do some work with some in-ear monitors. And they're not cheap. Have you ever tried to buy wireless in-ear monitors thinking, I can get some Bluetooth headphones for my Apple from Beats for like £50? You know,
I did look at them once, and then I got to thinking, this is like a vegetarian looking at slabs of meat to buy. Pointless.
Huh?
Yeah.
How's it pointless?
Why on earth would I ever want to not play through a cranked amp? Well, that's silly.
You might be in a small practice room where the speakers suck.
No, then you need a different room and different speakers.
Okay, let's assume that for whatever reason, I need to buy some in-ear monitors.
Well, then you need better reasoning then.
See, I looked into this. Firstly, there are some Shure ones which are like $100, whatever. I'll probably get those.
I have those.
Yeah, I know a lot of people use those.
The 215 Pros.
Uh-huh.
And?
I think they're perfectly serviceable. Like, if I was a professional touring musician and I needed an in-ear monitor setup, I can't talk today. In-ear monitor setup.
Forever.
True. I would get some custom ones made and do the full
molded and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for your just average Joe that's just playing once in a while, I think those Shures are perfect, honestly. They sound pretty good. They plug your ear like you want. Are they going to be the best fit for everybody's ear? Probably not. No, but sure. For $100, I think they're really hard to beat.
Yeah, I basically either go with some weirdo brand off Amazon for like $50, or it's the Sennheisers or the Shures. And the Shures have a little bit better bass response from the technical specs that I have read. So I think that's what I'm going to go for. But then I've got to pick a wireless unit or have a very long wire. And that hurts as a guitar player. You've already got a very long wire. Why would you want another very long wire?
I didn't want a very long wire, but I lived with it. I didn't want to spend the money for the wireless rig when I was not like out there playing for people all the time. So I went with the very long wire, which is a bit inconvenient, but it's not the end of the world.
No, I mean, I'm not against it for this band may fizzle out. We may discover that we all hate each other, and so I don't really want to go and buy £800 worth of.
You can't
like,
go into
wireless.
It thinking that though. That's like going into a marriage thinking, you know what? We may get divorced. I don't know about all this.
Bri, you're on shaky ground here, my friend. This is not. Oh, well, actually, I was about to say this is not a subject you know, but it is a subject you know about.
I know.
Actually,
quite a
the
bit
podcast
about this,
leading expert. Yeah. No, I hear you, but you know me. I like to downplay everything because I'm scared of everything going wrong. So I just make the worst case scenario. But I've been looking at some of the cheaper wired headphone amplifiers, like Behringer do one for like $50. That it's just like you plug your headphones in and it gives you a little master
volume. What
about
your Katana though? You got that Katana? Why not just go with that?
No! Have you not? You've forgotten. My daughter has requisitioned that permanently. That's never coming back.
Wow.
So
time to buy a new Katana. I got a Katana head that's great. We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it. So I think where my current mindset is probably taking the Friedman IRX, maybe a Terraform, and if I could get another Metaverse, if I knew someone who had a stock of them, then I'd maybe stick a Metaverse on there. But I'll probably go Fotape Echo for now. But I think that IRX might be the best direct solution that I've got in my house, because you've got some IR loading capabilities. Mm-hmm. You've got a gain channel, you've got a sort of clean channel, and you've got a boost all on one pedal. So
that is true.
I'm looking around his room.
I'm trying to remember where I put mine. I don't remember where I put it.
On eBay with all your other
I have one somewhere.
Oh, no. I didn't say that.
I'm looking at a prototype that's not a Friedman version. That's not it.
Oh.
Oh wait, there I see it. Okay.
I was going to say it's not this one on reverb.com from Martinsville, Indiana.
A B womp.
Why does he want $1,200 for this one? Oh, it's signed by somebody. Huh.
And then I got to the stage of thinking, am I just at this stage buying for the sake of it? Because really, if I've got to use some monitors to like rehearse with the guys because everyone's going into the board, whatever, why aren't I just using my monitor over-ear headphones? Because I'm just going to be in like a rehearsal studio. But where's the fun in not spending money on gear?
That's also fun, right? As long as you're not, well, that is half the fun. But the in-ears will be, you know, nice and compact and you don't have to worry about them falling off your head if you do get a little light.
But how do they sound compared to like regular cans though?
I mean,
they should be better because you should get
pretty
more.
Good.
Yeah, you should get more of a like a plug in your ear. So the bass should be tighter.
Then how come good mixers and producers don't wear in-ear monitors then when they mix?
Some of them do these things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you see any of the
most
modern
good mixers, like run just their studio monitors.
I'm going to text Dan Huff right now and ask him why he's not using in-ear monitors. I'm kidding.
Yeah, if you would listen to any of the modern
Brian,
music,
I am.
You know, the Liverpool beat combo, the Beatles. I think George Martin he used some. Maybe he didn't.
I think Elvis. Elvis used some in-ear monitors. I'm sure back then.
Yeah, Elgar was famous for his in-ear monitor usage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know you can spend an infinite amount of money on in-ear monitors. You can buy like the top end Shure ones are like £900, and that's before you start going into the custom
crazy
fit and
yeah,
all
there's,
that yeah.
there's
stuff.
More expensive ones.
There must be. I mean, there's an infinite amount of money that you can spend on any audio gear. We've discovered that. In fact, our good buddy Ben from Electric Love Effects was chatting to me. He said he went to Carter's vintage guitar store in Nashville, and he said he wasn't allowed in the roped-in area.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the roped-in area? He's like, they have some really expensive guitars in there. I'm like, this sounds amazing. He did say he knew the British King of Fuzz, so I'm surprised it didn't give him an immediate pass.
So Carter's moved, right, Blake?
Carter's, they just moved, I don't know, like completed the move maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, you haven't been in the new place yet.
I haven't either. I'm going to be doing that here in a couple weeks. But I don't remember the old one having a roped off area.
I was trying to think about that too. I don't recall there ever being a roped off area.
I don't think there was in the old one. I mean, there were very expensive guitars just laying out there where my toddler could lick them.
Yeah, because they'd be like, try this one. This is great. I'm like, I'm afraid to hold this guitar.
I mean, he did actually say, yes, that there were very expensive guitars just in the regular section, like with numbers that made my eyes water. But one can only imagine what they keep in the special section.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're one of the places they get burst. They get the cream of the crop there on a regular basis. That's the type of spot they are. But they did get, I don't know the details of the transaction exactly, but they were bought or merged with another company here in the last few years. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. It was a public thing. They made a press release about it. I don't remember all the details, but there's something to that effect. So maybe the new partners want things to be a little more clamped down, or maybe they've just got even crazier stuff now. They're like, okay, all right, we can't just let Blake's kids come in here and drool all over.
That's right.
This is
an actual DS1 from the Kurt Cobain. You know, like this
from
is worth
the Kurt Cobain.
The Kurt Cobain. This one's worth $10 billion. Because the transistor works different in this one, see? The HFE is a little different.
Of course it is.
Random tangent, but speaking of people whose name begin with K, and rhyme with ert. I was listening to Kurt Vile today. I've never listened to
Kurt Vile. I thought you were going to say Katy Perry, but okay, go ahead.
That was later. That's not Kurt Vile. Are you familiar with Kurt Vile, Blake? I'd imagine I'd got more of a chance with that with you than I have with Brian.
Yes,
I'm familiar with him. I don't sit down and listen to it all the time, but he is good.
I like it. My daughter introduced me to it, and I like it. It's kind of a bit of a kind of modern Lou Reed vibe about his vocal delivery, which I kind of dig
a little
on.
Bit, so. Yeah.
I was listening to the Breaking Rock playlist today because someone this week accused me of being a boomer, but you know, don't know who that might have been.
Was that your daughter?
No, she accuses me of being a fine thing. Oh, I have got a sweet story to tell. I have got a very sweet story to tell, which I've just been reminded of before Brian recovers from the slings and arrows of everyday life. My daughter's boyfriend has bought the same drum machine as me. In fact, he's got the newer version of it. And I was walking along today, I thought, if she ever got married and I did a speech as the father of the bride, I would open it with, I knew from the moment he bought the same drum machine as me, he was the one for Leela. Because that's a good sign, isn't it? Daughter's partner is buying gear that you would buy, then I think there's something you can do.
That's a keeper,
as they say.
I agree.
Right. But anyway, going back to the other thing you were talking about with the roped off area, did you see the guy this week who stole a $300 Epiphone instead of the $1,000 Gibson that was sitting right next to it? And I mean, it must have been a cheap Gibson, I'm just going to say, but he is idiot of the week.
Yeah, maybe
I thought that was me. He can't have my crown.
He's going to steal guitars. Maybe do just a little bit of research before you go in. Like, what are the brands to Google? What are the brands to steal in 2024?
What guitars to steal? Yeah.
What will you swap me for this Squire bullet?
Will look this. That's the problem with musical instruments. Is most of the time when they get stolen, it's because people know they're worth something. They have no idea if it's worth $100,000 or $100, but they know a guitar-shaped case is worth something, and that's why musical instruments are so targeted. It's like kind of like even more of a sure thing than random electronics, right? If you buy a original Xbox, actually maybe those are vintage these days. Maybe those are going for a lot of money. I don't know. But if you buy you steal something like that,
bit of a sore subject right now.
Why?
Because I nearly bought the Xbox Series X for £400 last week and thought, I'll wait till next week, and it's just gone back up to £460. So now I must wait for it to drop again because I am a tightwad. I think that's the technical term.
Okay. or just grow up and stop playing that stuff.
What?
Oh, sorry.
What
did I say
in
that
the
out loud?
World are you talking about?
Odin will punish you.
Boy?
I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Not string joy, string boy. That's what that should be your handle on Instagram. String boy.
That's the sounds worst like a ever superhero sidekick that was ever penned by Marvel. Here comes String Boy.
I don't have any superpowers, but I can sure change your guitar strings real fast, mister.
I'm Ernie Ballman and my sidekick String Boy.
My fingertips are made out of titanium so that they don't get that annoying little cut whenever you hit the end of a string that's just been cut.
Oh, that is the worst.
Hello, my name's String Boy. Do you guys want to be my friend?
I brought my clip-on headstock tuner.
You guys like my new snark? It's more accurate than the last generation. No, the battery's dead.
The String Boy would just be the assistant. Who would be the main hero in that dynamic duo? Who would that be? Oh no, I can't say any of the words that have come to my head would get us kicked off air.
So, just don't say them. Don't say them.
None of those would come.
It's not fit for public consumption.
Interesting. We'll leave that one open to listeners to come up with a superhero duo.
Yeah, send us an email on your favorite one.
Yeah, podcast at waffledpedals.com.
So I don't know if this is true, but if this is true, this guy, Henpecked Hal, is definitely my hero.
I have been thinking about that for 24 hours now, and it still cracks me up every time I read it.
Honestly, I just smile when I see the so a tweet was posted that said, "My wife left me home alone with the kids to go out drinking with her friends. A lesser man might whine and complain, but instead, I'm just playing Chumbawamba's 1997 hit, Tub Thumping, over and over on the jukebox at their bar using the Touch Tunes app." And there's a picture of the app, and the Chumbawamba single is lined up there. But the best bit was the little exchange he had with his wife, where she was like, "Yeah, about to get another round." He was like, "You drinking a whiskey drink or a vodka drink?" And he was like, "Margarita." He's like, "Awesome. The bath sucked. The kids were just thumping the tub." He's like, "Sorry." And then he was like, "I got them down, but they got up again." And then she twigged. She was like, "Wait, WTF, are you doing this?" If this is true, Henpecked Hal, you are my hero of the week.
Oh, that is definitely
utterly fantastic.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. They ain't never going to keep me down. I get knocked down.
That is
but I get up again. Best. They ain't never going to keep me down.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny.
Very annoying song to have on repeat.
Why is that, Richard?
Husband of the week, though.
It just is. It's just a very annoying song to have on repeat.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You ain't never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You ain't never going to keep me down. I get knocked down.
The Levellers were part of a movement, though, back in the 90s. I'm going to try and talk over him until he shuts up.
You ain't never going to keep me down. I think I can actually mute him.
I get up again. You ain't never going to keep me down. You can't do that to me.
Can you make But yeah, there was actually like a movement around sort of the Levellers, and we called them all Crusties. They were like hippies, but older generation. So they were, if you're a fan of the Levellers, you were known as a Crusty.
So when you were a kid, there wasn't a boomer thing, it was Crusties.
Crusties. Well, I mean, they were sort of the same.
I'm going to start using that. Okay, Crusty.
I think you should, Bri. I think you definitely should. Right, so we've concluded that I am stupid and that IEMs are not worth getting and that I'm stupid.
I don't think that was the conclusion, but
I'm it not felt sure like that it that's was. What we came to.
But I'm now going to bring something quite serious to the table because do you know what the greatest guitar pedal never released is, Bri? It's this new pedal from Harmon.co. Have you guys seen this? It's launching early 2024.
Yeah.
I think we're almost in the middle of 2024. So
I think we're kind of mid-2024 right now.
Not far.
I think once you get to... I think if you get past 5...
June the 1st. Yeah.
Yep. You're no longer in early.
No. Mm-hmm. But certainly... You're definitely pushing it if you're in the middle of 4 and you're still like early, like late early. But I digress, as ever. So Legion is the name of this series of 3 guitar pedals, and they look pretty sweet. The aesthetic's nice. I've got this nice little LED strip, tiny little knobs. Not a fan of the tiny knob. And they've used some sort of color coding on them. But it's a faster way to change your signal path, a swappable, modular, and versatile effect pedal ecosystem. This has been written by someone who worked in software that enables songwriters and producers to create unique signature sounds in seconds. What, like regular pedals? It's not just modularity for the sake of it. We're fundamentally taking advantage of the module nature of our design.
You'll understand.
So here are the highlights. I
mean, in the past, people used patch cables. This uses a USB cable. It's amazing.
Well, no, I don't think it... I mean, it uses USB-C for power, but it uses magnet link for power and signal daisy chaining. So there's some sort of clever magnet. Now, here's my first thing. the one thing I can say about guitarists is they're well known for their adoption of new technologies. None of them have ever hung around with 70-year-old guitar designs and amplifiers powered essentially by 1930s technology. That's never happened. So new technology, we love it as guitarists. But I feel we've been here before, Bri.
A time or two. I've seen this several times now.
I feel every year someone says, I've got to revolutionize the pedal industry, and then disappears a year later. I hope it's not true with these guys. This looks pretty neat. But again, I'm going to have to wait till I hear them, because they may not be great sounding, even if they're functional.
So, so I have a question. Like, you said you like the looks of these. To me, this looks sort of like an... if sort of like the iStomp versus combined with an iPad sort of look.
Yeah.
So, and not like the screen side.
Let
like
me explain what I mean when I say I like the look of them, Bri. I like the LED strip in the middle.
Oh, that's like the LED strip. Because I'm thinking, like, if you have a board full, these pedals all look the exact same. So, and I know, like, JHS has one series.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you familiar with the best-selling budget series, the one, no, the three series? Yeah,
but again, that is their budget. We should bring out the Josh's one series. Budget series, though, right? So, I mean, like, you kind of expect it's going to look that
These don't look like premium pedals, even though they've got these little funny metal things in the corners, which might be the magnetic poles to do stuff. But I do feel that this is a very brave move. I mean, for a start, I don't have USB-C available on my pedal board at the moment. Like, I'm sure I could make it available, but why use USB-C for power?
So the modulars... Okay, so there is no cable that connects the two, which means...
Although you can use regular patch cables.
Okay, because my question is, that means you're digitizing the signal, right? Which means that every single pedal is going to have some sort of layer of latency. So if you have a pedal board full of these...
I don't know that it's digitizing the signal necessarily. It looks like it's a magnetic link. That's what it looks... If you watch the little animation they have on the...
So let me read this bit here.
Yeah.
Traditionally, guitarists have navigated a maze of patch cables. I mean, don't judge me. Meticulously arranging and connecting pedals to achieve their desired sound, kind of what we enjoy doing. The Legion pedal defies this norm. Nope, not sold yet. Introducing a modular setup that transcends the limitations of conventional pedal boards. I think that's probably pushing it a little bit. Picture a setup where creativity flows seamlessly without the hassle of cable clutter. An artist's dream come true. Or perhaps a Line 6 HX Stomp. You choose. I mean, I don't think they've fixed that problem. But these modules elegantly snap together, forming a robust and cohesive unit.
So that way you can delve into the... Never mind. Sorry.
I'm not even lying, Brian. The last point is elevate your sound with the Legion pedal.
They used
ChatGPT to write this. I can't take it serious. It does not herald a new era where creativity knows no bounds. It heralds a new era where some guy has thought up a new way of making pedals. That's all. Please, come on. We're dealing with little musical toys.
So there's another thing that you guys don't know about. Or if you did, maybe you're waiting for me to talk about it.
Is it the jigsaw stuff?
No. It is the fact that the reason I was aware of these, I am a little bit different than you guys. I actually like the way they look. I understand why some people don't, but I'm kind of into it. It's kind of retro, but kind of modern. I might choose a little different font personally, but that's just me.
Yes, definitely a different font.
But I like the design overall aesthetically. They saw my video of me destroying the Behringer, and they said, well, would you like to try it with our pedals when they release? And I said, yep, sure would. So I don't know. I've had multiple companies see that video and make similar comments, and I said, yeah, I'll absolutely torture test your pedal for you if you want me to. I've yet to have anybody actually take me up on it. I realize these are still in like pre-release, so they're not officially available yet. But Harmon, I am down to torture test your pedal as you so kindly offered on Instagram. So just let me know.
Are these the same guys that did the Jigsaw pedal, which also used weird little connectors?
I don't think so.
Looked awful because that made it look like a jigsaw. Because I'm with you. I kind of dig where they're going with the style, but I don't like a number of things about the style they've laid on. And number one is the use of basically a common or garden workaday font on the titles. But yeah, who am I to say? I made them orange on orange once and everyone complained.
and it was definitely your fault.
100%. I make all the decisions.
Yes. Absolutely.
Sometimes I make decisions I don't even know I made them, and I have to ring Brian up and say, Brian, did you know that this has happened? And he's like, no. And I was like, no, nor did I, but it has.
So I'm trying to find what it outputs that signal. Is it analog or is it digital?
Well, why have a physical connection if it has to be digital?
Hold on. Is it a physical connection? Because I'm not seeing like a plug. Like
watch the animation on the top where they show this little tiny thing that slots in to the side. It's a physical connection.
Hold on. I'm seeing the big logo. Okay. The USB goes in. The input cable goes in. There's the LED strip that we see on all three pedals. Yes. Okay, so there's female on the female port on the pedal itself. Then in between them, there's a male-to-male connection. Okay. So basically, this is... We have the little male-to-male quarter-inch jack thingies. I forget what you call them. Everyone hates them. So we just turn this into basically like a big old... It's almost like the old iPad ports. You know what I mean?
Kinda. A little bit. The big 30-pin connectors they used to have. I don't think those are 30-pin. I think they're more, they look, in. It's hard to tell in the video, but they look a little beefier than that. I will also say they look better together. When you look at that graphic at the very bottom of the screen, when they're all beside each other, it looks way better than they do individually.
Yeah. It looks like someone spent a lot of money tooling this up, and... Best of luck to you, but a big hint about the guitar pedal industry, there's not a lot of money in it. You're not going to get rich doing this.
That's not my understanding.
Are these real or are these renderings? Because they could just be renderings, you know? It's hard to tell.
That I'm not sure about. If they're renderings, they're very good ones.
Yeah, but, you know, people can do good graphics. That's possible. True.
What would you know about people could do good
like
graphics?
Like you've ever done any graphics before.
Never ever in my life.
Never ever spent your entire life devoted to it.
But they've taken the iPhone marketing. I mean, the video that runs on their website is basically an iPhone-style video, which is very slick and very cool. But I am worried for their market research because, I don't know, I think part of the attraction of a pedal board for me is if I don't like every pedal that Brian Wampler makes, I can go and find ones from Robert Keeley or Josh Scott or Poison Noises or so many different flavors of pedals to choose from. And I know they'll all work together because they use the universal connection. I know these all use a universal connection, but they don't use a universal power. They use USB-C, which means you're forced to go one way or the other on your power, unless you've got a fancy power supply with a USB-C out as well.
Yeah.
So it's a risk.
It's true. It is a risk.
Okay.
I just could see that a was world conclusive. In which, I'm just picturing.
I mean, you know, kudos for trying something new. You got to try something new, right? You got to see if you can break the mold. That's a big risk for a market that's not getting bigger.
I'd like to show the gentleman Exhibit B, the Fender Telecaster, essentially unchanged for 75 years.
Right.
Yeah, we're a funny lot. We are a funny lot. as Brian reminds
Exhibit
me.
C, the fuzz pedal design, which is based on technology from 1933. That's a joke, probably.
Yeah, it's 1934. Yeah. What else have we got going on this week? I feel there's other gear news. Oh, did you guys see this? For the limited edition Squire models, Fender have made everything in Antigua Burst.
Finally.
Antigua.
Why would you do it?
Burst.
Yeah, this is the right move.
Okay, I see.
It's the right move if you've got flared trousers, orange crush pile carpet.
I do.
Yeah, actually, you probably do, to be fair. I'm not a fan.
I get it if you like that thing, but it doesn't do anything for me.
They kind it's of been look a like very a divisive really disgusting choice. Cocktail.
For sure. People are not entirely enthused about it. And I get it. It's not a color for everyone.
If you're Fender, like, okay, we've built the same guitar for 1,000 years now. What do we do different this year? I got it. Let's put a different color on it.
Well, yeah. This was one that was done in the late 60s and early 70s, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you reinvent the same guitar over and over? At some point, like, you got to throw out some turds every now and then, right?
Joe Bonamassa just made a comment about that, and he's 100% right. He's like, the guitar market's weird because of what we were just talking about. You got to make the same thing over and over and over again, or else people get upset. Like, no other consumer product companies are like that, really.
I don't know. Coca-Cola's pretty similar. They got rid of the sugar, but generally speaking, they've had a fairly consistent product.
That's a consumable, marketing. Though. Guitars aren't really consumable. They kind of exist for
not
a long
a consumable.
Time.
What? I used to have a Coca-Cola duvet set and bin in my room in the 1980s. I loved Coke so much.
Really?
And not the bad start.
You liked them that much that you bought like trash cans and everything else.
Anything American. This was just before I got into like skateboarding properly. So I was like 12 and anything American I thought was cool.
Okay, I can see that. And then you've met Americans and then you're like, are they all like Brian, like this guy Brian? Because this guy's weird as hell. Weird as hell.
I don't know, Bri. Every now and then, you and I, you know, we have a phone conversation where we discuss our own issues that are going in. I feel like we are literally a mirror image of each other sometimes. Like, not physically, clearly, but the problems we seem to face, it's like we're like, you know, those two cats those three cats in King of the Hill with some extra cats.
Am I Boomhauer or am I Dale?
I was more Dale. I was more Dale for sure. They should have had an English character in King of the Hill. That would have made me happy. They probably did at some point. So moving on from the disgusting Antigua Burst, today I got an email that even more disgusting, Pink Starcaster. I mean,
how dare you?
It is a Tom. I think it's time we started saying his name properly and fancy. A Tom DeLonge guitar.
DeLonge.
Yes. So it is blessed with alien spirit at some point, but I've never liked the Fender Starcaster.
What?
I've never been
what
a fan
you never
of
liked
Pink
the Starcaster.
Guitar. Just what? I'm not a fan of it. Just for some reason, that headstock on that body doesn't work for me.
How dare you? What is wrong with you?
A lot of things. Where do you want me to start?
Yeah, you need to seek therapy, sir.
You're not the first person. I'd like to say that you're not the first person to tell me that. You're not the first person today to tell me that. So, sure, yeah. Sure, I do.
I love this. And it has, I like Tom DeLonge, but it has little to do with Tom DeLonge. I just love it. I think it's a cool guitar. And I'm actually with you a little bit, Richard. I've never been a big fan of the traditional Starcaster headstock, although I don't mind it. And this does away with that a little bit. It's still in that vein, but it's not quite as obnoxious. I think they made a really cool guitar here. And if you don't like the pink, I mean, how can you go wrong with the gold or the white or the kind of bluish green one?
I did see the sort of bluish green one. I did quite like that color. Quite.
Yeah, I just think it looks really classy. I'd like to rock one. I think it looks great.
Are you buying one, Brian? But, Brian's tuned out of life
no,
now.
He's contemplating I don't. It doesn't do anything for me.
Nothing? Mm-mm. Nothing at all. Look at that.
What do they sound like, though? Have you ever played one, Blake?
I played an original Starcaster, and I'm sure this doesn't sound anything like it because it's got the two big old humbuckies in it. The originals have wide rangers in them, if I remember correctly, and that's going to be quite a bit different than a normal PAF style humbucker. So I don't know what these sound like, but they look like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't buy into that. I mean, I'm sure it's good. I think my guitar chasing is done right now, though. I think that's a big part. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, Bri. No. It can never be done.
It can never be done.
That's like
saying you've got 12 times over the course of this podcast, and you're like, you know what I need?
I'm just saying for right now, though. Like, there's no guitar that I've seen lately that makes me want to buy.
Bass. Maybe a bass guitar.
I'm surprised you haven't bought a Duesenberg. I know they've got some fancy, like, adornments, but the tremolo alone makes them worth buying.
The thing stops me from buying the Duesenberg is that I like amps better than guitars. And if I'm going to spend that kind of money, I'm going to buy an amp.
You make a very good point. But you still need to buy one.
I just, you know.
I would buy a guitar right now or an amp. Unfortunately, I had to pay Uncle Sam yesterday. So
you'll pay him again here shortly whenever they, if they do you like they do me, which is like, yeah, we'd like some more of that money. No real reason, but we're just going to require you to pay us some more taxes.
I think the words you said were they told me to bend over and prepare for something a little bit alarming. But
now you might feel a slight pinch.
This is going to feel a bit uncomfortable, but not for us, because we're taking all your money.
Is this the third episode in a row where we've complained about taxes? Or is that 300? Just a symptom of being an old dad? Yeah.
I don't know.
To be fair.
I'm a little frustrated with the whole tax situation anyways. I just got my property taxes back.
We can't do it. We can't do it, Brian. Don't do it.
There is no way.
At least you don't get taxed on your goats, Brian. Oh, that was a goat tax.
Oh, man, I'm surprised it's not thrown in there.
Next week, the tax inspector is going to be going, you got some real nice goats there. Would be a shame if someone slapped a levy on them, wouldn't it?
I think that makes your house worth $10 million now.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Is that a peanut butter storage cellar that you have? We're going to need to tack on an additional levy onto your property.
Oh, golly.
That looks like you can store at least 5,000 to 6,000 cases of Jif in there.
Is peanut butter tax-free? Certain things are tax-free and certain things are not in this country.
Oh, that's cute.
And there was a massive, massive legal case about a biscuit stroke cake called the Jaffa cake. And the reason there was a legal case is there is a bigger VAT on biscuits than there are on cakes. And in order to win, the Jaffa cakes are basically small sponge cookies with chocolate and orange in them. But they are cakes, as was legally proved in court when they baked a giant one to avoid paying the extra duty on biscuits. So there's a little bit of trivia for you, Bri. Not that you've ever seen a Jaffa cake, know what one is.
I've heard of those, though, actually.
Mm-hmm. One of the best
things. Probably from you, actually. Try to guess.
Probably. I've probably told the same story about a week ago. What? Mm-hmm. Have you never eaten a Jaffa cake?
Never even heard of it.
Okay, you will have to give me your address. I am sending you Jaffa cakes. You will enter a smashing orangey heaven.
I don't know if I want to. That sounds kind of hazardous.
your country's about to enter a kind of strange orangey heaven.
I didn't want to say it, and you had to go there. No, please stop it.
You indicated it with your eyebrows. Right, before we go, are you familiar with the band Mahogany Rush?
Nope. That sounds made up.
It's not.
Well, their guitar legend, Frank Marino, has launched his own pedal company and is hand-building all of his pedals. And so I'll ask my learned friend, Mr. Wampler, is he insane? What's wrong with him? Or does he know something?
I was actually reading that article. I was trying to figure out what circuits he was using. Because, I mean, I've had a few people over the years ask me about how to get the Frank Marino tone. And he's not been a player that's like crossed my side of vision, I suppose, where he sounds fine, just doesn't do anything for me. It's no George Lynch when I listen to that, to Mahogany Rush.
The three pedals they've got here, yeah, right? The Juggernaut is described as an intense, searing fuzz pedal.
Well, I'm told.
All reportedly right, achieve incandescent levels of distortion. So I guess what we're saying there, Big Muffle Rat.
Big Muffle
Rat. I think that's
Big Muffle Rat. Okay.
That's where we are. The Dragonfly Overdrive offers a two-band EQ. Now, I made the joke about the four-band EQ, but this guy's gone for two bands, which is kind of okay. Plus level and drive control. So, overdrive, two-band EQ.
It's a bad monkey.
It's a bad monkey or some tube screamer variant, I guess. And then you've got the Maxoom. The what now? A clean boost offering a sizable plus 20 decibels of level boost. So 20 decibels, it's two range masters in a...
So you get a MOSFET boost, okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure since it's Frank Marino, I'm sure he's going to sell some, right? But...
For sure. Yeah. They look hot. They look good. They've picked a standard font for all of them. So the typeface remains the same. One of Led Zeppelin's least loved albums. I kind of love how they've done this. It's clean looking, similar sort of Davies knobs that we use, I guess.
Jimmy, we know that you're passionate about this stuff, but the graphic design phase that you're in right now is really inspiring to lots of people, but not everybody understands what a typeface is.
You know, I demand Comic Sans or I'm leaving the studio. Sure, it went like that. I dig the look of them. I'm not sure, without hearing them, what we're going to get, but I'm going to watch the YouTube videos.
I mean, I guess my personal thought is like, this is the wrong time to start a pedal company.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Thanks from the person who's been saying to me for about the last 3 months, you know what you should do? You should make some pedals and start a pedal company. On, so, and then he says, this is the wrong time. No, I'm joking. Say, I mean, to we start all know. If I sold five pedals, it's a success.
Yeah, I mean, building some pedals and selling them, fellas, that's one thing. But like...
Fellas, hold on. There's more to this story that may even further highlight Brian's statement. Each of the above is priced at $499.99.
I want all three immediately.
Good luck, Frank. Good luck.
Well, all three are available. If you order the Power Trio, you can shave $100 off the total. And so, yeah, you'll save $100 if you order all three.
Richard. So, again, I can't ever see me ever going into a shop and spending $1,400 on three pedals. That day feels a long way off. I could see me buying a huge modeling unit for that. But again, we're in amp money there. $1,300. I'm thinking, I bet Fender do a nice combo for that. I bet I can get some kind of cool digital modeling combo thingy.
Well, coming from someone that has a little bit of experience selling overdrive and distortion pedals, $499 is a touch.
Oh, Blake, sorry. Yeah. It's a very tough price point.
It's not unheard of, but it's up there, right? It's definitely up there. He might sell some. He's got he definitely has a built-in fan base that would, you know, certain people would gobble up anything that he would make, and I'm sure they sound good. Because I do trust the pedigree. That's expensive, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, best of luck to him. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good time for us to end tonight's episode and move on over to the Patreon, where we're going to swear at each other until one of us cries.
And I'm going to eat M&M's on this one.
Yeah.
Yep.
I lost my water, or I'd drink. Oh, here it is.
Who's reading out the credits this week?
Yes, I don't care. I can do it. Big, huge thanks to our executive producers who make this podcast possible. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do this. It just wouldn't be possible. So big thanks to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Night Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band, Rusting and Reduced.
Reduced rose to rust, 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 rust.
He actually bring a good point you got on there. Hang on. Reduced to rust. Eric Wilson, VR Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gunstree Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Pigs. Patrice Juanes, Dylan Talkstone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Crescent Hearts, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of Man the Helm Podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibarito, Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Petals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Ziller. Is Bumlayer Laser a business? I don't think he is.
No, it's not, but it needs the
Bumlaser! Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown. Whoa, hey, got some echo going on. Here. Philip Carter of the 41 Podcast. Mark Bowman. I get that wrong every time. Christopher Logan, Jason Englehart, DeCrowhawk. Yeah, we'll go with that. Dylan Lewis, Josh. That's a hard one. Josh, how do you spell that? Josh. James Thompson. Oh, a new one. Thank you. Colin Littlejohn. Thanks. And
I do have a slight update. I know who Josh is.
Really? Is it a metal company associated with Josh?
I can neither confirm nor deny, but I have been reached out to by Josh.
Really?
Josh has given you a reach around. Now that's scandalous.
Hey, that's for Patreon. All right, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.